What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
Now, coming up, I'm going to be chatting to Queensland pastor Rob Porter, who recently visited the Ukraine to help the relief effort in the war with Russia. So stick around. Going to be having a great chat with Rob in the studio up next. Well, a very good morning and welcome to the studio all the way from Queensland. You've been in Perth for a week. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Just move that microphone just that's better. There we go. We can hear you now. Really appreciate you coming in today.
Yeah, thank you.
I know you're heading back tomorrow to Queensland, So it was a great opportunity to have a chat to you face to face. Now, you have recently visited the Ukraine to help with the relief effort over there. First question, why? Have you got a long-term relationship with people in the Ukraine? How did it all come about?
That's a great question. Very honestly, I had no real feeling for the Ukraine. I mean, obviously with the war, that brought it to my attention, but I had no leading to go there or anything like that. But one day it was March the 22nd, I went into the gym and we just started back after applying for the membership a year before, hadn't been, so this was a big week getting back to the gym.
After 12 months.
And I was pretending to do some exercise.
Yeah.
And the BBC app went off on my leg and I just read the news flash that came up about the Ukraine. Can't remember what it was, but I just felt an overwhelming compassion begin in my heart. And I just felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, you can be mad or sad, you can pray or you can send money or you can go, and I want you to go. And in that moment, I kind of knew, it was a yes, sir moment. And I also knew that it was going to happen and that there would be provision for it.
Had you been there before?
Nope.
So you're sitting in the gym.
Yep.
You're spotting a BBC news feed come up.
Yeah.
You felt that God spoke to you.
Yeah.
And what did you do from there? Did you go home and tell your wife with some sort of caution, or what did that look like?
No.
How did that conversation go?
Well, what happened was I didn't tell her to the end of the day, so I sent off these emails to some refugee places in Poland and Czech Republic, and then I remembered that I had friends in Slovakia, which we had connection with. In the 90s, and I was able to contact them and say, hey, this might be a bit crazy, but I'm really feeling I should come over. I've got a chefing background. I was a trained chef.
Right.
And then I got into pastoring, and then I've got a counselling diploma. So I was thinking those things would be really useful in a refugee situation. But honestly, there's no handbook or, you know, that goes, oh, if you want to go and help, here's what you do. So I sent a message to my friends in Slovakia, and they said that they really felt it was God, but they'd get back to me and see what they could do, because their denomination's doing work in the east of Slovakia, which borders the West Ukraine.
So you get in contact with someone you haven't heard from or seen in 20 years, 20 plus years.
Yep.
Just out of the blue.
Out of the blue.
So you were busy making communication with people.
Yes.
And you still hadn't told your wife.
Still hadn't told my wife.
Okay.
So I did that. I was Tuesday's my day in the office at church to prepare my message for Sunday. So I did that, and then I went home. I wasn't scared about telling her, but I was like, just if I felt like, oh, this isn't real by the end of the day, I would just not bother telling her. But but then we sat down at dinner. My daughter Gabby was there as well, and I just said, hey guys, I may have volunteered to go to the Ukraine.
just slip it in over dinner.
Yeah, I hope they don't notice.
What was the reaction from your wife?
Well, my wife said, actually, her reaction was, I thought she was going to go, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Because of safety and so on, which I get. But she actually said Macedonia call. That was just literally Macedonia call, and I had no idea what she was talking about.
Yeah.
I know the story in Acts. It talks about Paul has a dream and sees a guy's in Macedonia praying, and the guy says, come over and help us. And she said we'd had a word from God about 10 years ago, because we went to China for 2 years, and just before we left, some guys prayed over us, and they just said, we really feel that every new season in your life is going to be a Macedonia call, which, so she remembered that. She can remember everything we've had like that from way, way back, which, so that's a good woman there. And we grabbed a Bible, the message, and read it, the story in Acts, and it said, In that translation, it says, come over to Europe and help us.
Wow.
And so that, again, was a bit of a goosebumpy moment. Then my friend came back again. They'd been to bed in Slovakia and got up, and she said, I really think this is God. Only yesterday we were praying, and we said, Lord, please send someone to help us.
Wow. Okay. And then obviously you're booking tickets and you were there. What was the gap between you reading that message on your phone versus on a plane?
6 days.
What?
Yeah.
You're in the gym. 6 days. And 6 days later, you're on a plane.
Yep.
Rob, we'll take a break. We shall come back and talk some more. I've got plenty to ask you today. You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. Joining me in the studio today is Pastor Rob Porter, who has recently visited the Ukraine. Back after this. Pastor Rob Porter is with me, who has recently been to the Ukraine. Rob, so 6 days later, the ticket's booked, you're on a plane. Were you nervous? Were you nervous even sitting on a plane, heading to a country you hadn't been to, where there's war?
Yeah, well, first time overseas after COVID as well. And then 4 flights, 31 and a half hours. Normally I movie binge a bit, to be honest, but to make the time go, but I actually didn't this time. I was, there was a few moments where I was thinking, what on earth am I doing? You know, it's just a bit bizarre, a bit bonkers, but I really just knew it was right. And ended up in the east of Slovakia.
So can you describe, you've landed and you're heading into, and you're still at the stage, you didn't really know what you were going to do to help, but you responded to what you've described as the call of God to say, I need to go. What does that look like when you land?
Well, basically, the friends Martin Hanker, the pastor and his wife of the church, they picked me up, took me home and said, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I'm not quite sure, really, because they were also retiring at that time.
Okay.
And so they'd had some health issues. And what had actually happened, what I love about when God's doing something is there's often layers involved. You think one thing, which it was a Ukraine, but my friend had actually passed out in the pulpit the week before, had some heart and blood pressure issues, and it was just that's what they were praying about. So I was able to actually preach in their church for a couple of Sundays as well. But what they did was they basically set me free. They said, you come over, you can hang around here and we will show you the ropes, and then we will get someone from our church who's got a wife in the Ukraine, and we'll get them to take you over into the border, and you can start looking at what needs you want to meet. And because what had happened was I actually wasn't raising funds. I was literally going there. I thought I'd roll up my sleeves, go to a refugee camp, cook.
Because you are
practical.
You're a qualified chef.
Very practical.
Right.
It wasn't actually a fundraiser. And then all of a sudden, within 2 weeks, people had sent me $55,000. So it was a total miracle, even that.
Without even asking, people just knew you were going.
What happened was people gave me a big chunk of money at the beginning. And then I thought, well, why not? So, and I'm actually I'm media savvy, but I don't get on there and ask for money and things like that. But I kind of did feel very stirred up about this. So I did go on the Facebook page and on our Instagram and on our church run and just said, hey, guys, you know, if you could help out. And we had a response from all over Australia, believers and non-believers and so on. So it's pretty amazing.
Can you describe what it was like the streets, the smells, what were you seeing when you landed in Ukraine?
So crossing the border was
nerve-wracking?
Hundreds of these massive trucks on the border bringing in aid. Nope, the border crossing was actually one of the easiest I've ever been through, but it took a long time. But very casual there. It's almost, it sounds a bit weird, a bit festive, almost like they're so happy that people are helping them that they're really pleased to see you, and so they get you through. But there's a long queue. We get into the Ukraine, and the roads are pretty horrific there.
Right.
But you get into this first city, which is Uzhgorod, just across the border, and life is, they're doing their best to live life normally, because in the West, the war hasn't affected them so much. They're starting to get food rationed and diesel and all that, but they're all going about their jobs, going to work. I think the most confronting thing for me, Mike, was that they are living life like us. So they're all recharging their Apple phones. They've all got Wi-Fi. They're all watching Netflix. So it's this country. We sometimes see war as a poverty thing, which it kind of has been in our lifetime, where it's a poorer country. But this is not a third world nation. It's the first world. So it's very confronting to realize that people like you and I, who are just wanting to go about our lives, live our lives, live well, are facing incredible trauma like this.
Did you end up cooking?
I did. I cooked for my friends, yes. So actually, yeah. They were moving house, but I never cooked, didn't cook for the refugees, but I did cook for my friends. I did three meals for them, which they really enjoyed.
Rob, we'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. The bit we're going to talk about now may not be suitable for little ears. So if you've got little ones in the car or kids in the car, you may want to turn down at this stage, because I'm keen to talk to you and ask you about what are some of the other things that you were seeing over there in the Ukraine. Can you share a bit of that?
Yeah, sure. So what happened when I went in on the first day, they decided that it would be a good idea to expose me to some of the needs. Because I had mentioned I've got some money that Australian churches had gathered and we were wanting to bless them, a project with it or whatever. So we went around close to the border of Poland, Slovakia, Romania and Hungary. We drove around all that area. And the first place, we met people like as simple as a woman who had just been diagnosed with cancer, was just about to get treatment over in the east, but the hospital had been bombed, so she can no longer get treatment. A mother with a cerebral palsy child who was just about to start treatment again, can't get that, so you might have to go to the Czech Republic. And so war... we know it's a leveler, but it creates massive social problems. And clearly, I went to orphanages, a church-run orphanage, which they're doing a fabulous job, but they're housing refugees as well as orphanages. Children are being abandoned in numbers because people have mental health issues and they're unsure of life, so they're going with somebody else is going to have. So I walked into a hospital with a room full of babies in cots, like wall to wall. It was very confronting.
Hang on. They're the ones that were abandoned.
Abandoned, yeah. Yep.
Just been born.
Yep, and just literally their social stimulation is sitting in a cot all day.
Wow.
So it's very raw. The hospital there for children, they've got the nurses and the doctors, but they don't have equipment or drugs. And then we went around, the next day we went to the Utsgrod Baptist Church, who, one of the biggest churches in the area, but they are really doing, what is magnificent, Mike, is that I can see that the church is really shining in a dark place.
Yeah.
So they've got 250 people in their congregation. And they have 600 refugees in their homes and in the church. So the whole church has been turned into a big dormitory. And, of course, problems that were problems before the war are still the same. So they're having to police. Basically, if you were a bad guy or a bad woman before the war, it doesn't mean that you haven't changed. They're having to police that, feed them, clothe them, get the medical stuff, documents. A lot of them had to leave their passports and all of that behind when they fled. Yes, so they're doing an incredible thing. But also what's the social problems are magnified as well. And when you get evil happening, you know, it just causes more evil, really. And I experienced in the hotel I was staying in Slovakia, there was sex trafficking going on. There were two women, two guys, one from Norway and Switzerland, and they got caught by the police trafficking women. It's happening with and there's a lot of rapes and so on going on with young soldiers from the Russian side of things, where they've basically been conscripted from country areas that they've had no exposure to life at all, and they're just basically set free they're fighting the war, and then just obviously all these things are happening, and so the churches are having to deal with all of that, and that's our heart, is how can we best help them, best set them up to deal with these issues rather than having to try raise funds for food and so on. But it's a huge thing that's happening. But people are the church is rallying, and they're doing an amazing thing.
With all of that, were you quite overwhelmed? How did you process all of what you were seeing? I mean, Six days, and you're on a plane, and here you are seeing this for yourself. How did you cope with that? What was running through your mind?
Because everyone asked me that, and I want to say, yeah, it was so hugely confronting. I actually just felt a real grace on it. I think if I'd have found it overwhelming, I wouldn't have actually been able to be much help. I am actually a very emotional person, so I find people's needs very confronting, and they do affect me, and I am compassionate. So I actually found a real grace to just be able to make decisions, and because also, you know, if you you give them $55,000 to spend, it's not your money. Mm. You're representing people. So you really want to do it well and make sure that where it's going is really sound. And so, like I say, there were times where, yeah, you're overwhelmed by, wow, this is what is happening here.
Yeah.
But never to the stage where I felt like, wow, this is just the opportune time.
Well, I admire you, Rob. I don't know if I would hear that call quite as clearly as what you have. This is sitting in the gym there, and you've read that message, and six days later you're on a plane. Yeah. It's obedience, isn't it?
Yeah,
and it is. And really,
absolutely,
you made a decision based on what you believe God had clearly said to you in that gym. We'll take a break. Wonderful. We'll come back and chat some more. What sort of, when we think about the people that are fleeing and the people that have been displaced in the Ukraine, what sort of numbers are we looking at there?
Mm. I'm told that 15 million have been displaced, so 6 will have gone from 6 million into surrounding countries, and then 9 from the war zone through to the west are living in people's homes, in churches, anyone that's opening the door to them. But obviously the government is concentrating on a war effort, not the displacement of refugees. So, yeah, again, it's the churches are doing an incredible thing in opening up. And it's an amazing, even an opportunity, really, to share the gospel. But mainly they're looking at, as we want to bless these people from our country that are going through this stuff.
9 million.
9 million.
Just let that number sink in. That are basically refugees. So we're looking at 9 million refugees as a minimum, and I imagine that would possibly grow. Can Christians bring any hope to a conflict-weary world? What does that look like, Rob?
Yeah, that's a great... I mean, it is a great question. Definitely, having seen it hands-on, I'm going, yes, absolutely. Because literally while I was there for 2 hours, 6 people arrived. Just fresh in 2 hours, which is amazing. Then, so churches do things like they hold little prayer meetings and little worship every night. Because the people are displaced, and they're very much not, you need to come to this. They're very much just hosting them. Mm. But a lot of people do want comfort, and they do want assurance, and they do want something that they can look to that's going to give them some stability. I met a guy who was from Mariupol, which was one of the worst places that's been hit, an older guy who he was living with his niece and nephew. And they were in an apartment, and they were kept going down to the basement because the air sirens were going off all day long for months. They kept going down. But one day they decided, the four of them, the family decided they wouldn't go down, but the old man did.
Yeah.
And when he came back up, there'd been a direct hit in the apartment. They'd all been killed. And so he left, up and fled, and ended up at this Baptist church. It's called Baptist Church. And they led him to the Lord.
Wow.
They gave him a Bible. And, obviously it's tragic, but I think if we look at it as we're part of their story, not we have to convert them or we have to, it's bringing a light and the love of Christ to people is far more important than having a project type of thing. But obviously there are people whose lives are being turned around by the gospel. And this older guy, he just shone. They gave him a Bible and he kept patting it and saying it's his new friend. And absolutely, it's making a difference on the ground.
Wow, so good. And I guess just on that, I mean, are people still coming to Christ? Even are they open to hearing the gospel? I mean, I would imagine all they would be concerned about is shelter and food. But are they open to hearing the gospel?
Yeah, I think so. And like I said earlier, it's a first world country, so they've got all the trappings. Mm. So all the, in a sense, do we need God if we've got all this stuff?
Yeah.
However, that's all been ripped away from them. And actually, a lot of people are coming, Mike, they're coming over for 3 days. That's what they're thinking, but that's how they're kind of coping. They're in a bit of denial. Oh, we'll go for 3 days, and then when things are better, we'll go back. But things haven't got better. In fact, they've deteriorated even further. So people are realizing that this is a life, their lives have changed forever, really. Mm. So a lot of people, yes, they are definitely. And it is a Christian roots country. So it is actually turning people again, and they go, oh, this is what matters in life. All of these things are important, but this eternity really matters, and these decisions I'm making for my family really matter. So they are very open to the gospel.
It's been going for a while. I mean, we don't know, but is the expectation that it will change soon, or What's the feeling like on the ground that this could be a long-term issue we're dealing with?
They believe it's going to be long-term. The pastors that we speak to and over the last few weeks have said that they believe it's long-term. BBC, apparently yesterday I read, they're saying it's going to go for years. Nobody really, really knows. Yeah. Things could change very dramatically. Yeah. But it doesn't really matter because if you have $90 billion worth of infrastructure damage, your nation has been gutted. Basically, so they're going to need a lot of help. I think our church, personally my own church, we will probably send teams over to help rebuild and things like that.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But they're going to need a lot of very practical help.
Yeah, interesting.
Moving forward.
Rob, we'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. You are on 98.5 and this is Weekdays with Mike. Good morning. Got a message on your phone, you watched a news article on your phone, and then 6 days later you are on a plane heading over there. Amazing. Now, Rob, what would you say, out of everything you've seen, what is the biggest need in the Ukraine right now?
Yeah, biggest need, I think, breaks down into two areas. One would be praying for people in very practical ways. Yeah. I just want to think about that is, one story I haven't told many times is that they're getting refugees coming in all the time, and so we could pray for their protection, because the reason is that they had a guy that came in as an intake of refugees, and everyone was a little bit nervous about it. There was just something a bit off. He actually left 2 days later, and then the police came a day later and said, "Have you seen this guy? He's a Russian spy."
Oh, no.
And they go around putting these little microchip things on buildings that target the missiles. So they had to do a sweep of the whole church to make sure he hadn't targeted them. So it's a very real...
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Goodness.
You don't really think about spies and all of that. But
wow.
Apparently they're infiltrating Ukraine society so that they can undermine society and so on.
He was undercover looking like he was trying to help
exactly. The
refugees, but was...
Well, no, he thought he was acting like a refugee.
Oh righty.
Yeah,
okay.
But he wasn't. He was, part of a spy network that they'd discovered. So so protection, and I think an ongoing thing obviously is they have great financial needs, which we're looking to really help with, and just even their own mental health, I would say, because you know, I dipped into that and I came away impacted, but they're dipping into it 12, 18 hours a day, dealing with people with huge problems, mental health, physical problems, separated from families, lost loved ones, great trauma. So the work is there, and the pastors really need our prayers and help like that.
Like you said a little bit earlier, people thought after it's only going to be a few days and things would stop, but it hasn't. It's ongoing.
That's right.
Rob, what's the... I was just going to also ask you, you are heading back to the Ukraine. You're going to go back again, and this time you're going back with your wife.
Yes, that's the plan, and that's what we're planning to make happen. She's an amazing woman, and she's got a great... she's actually done many years in mental health nursing, so even that's going to be very practical help. And she's a great just sit and talk and listen to people's stories and drawing them out and comforting and things like that. And then obviously we're wanting to make sure that the lines of communication are great between us and the pastors, see what it's like on the ground again, and keep people updated, because like a lot of people are saying, it's going out, it's going out of the news. Because things are replacing it.
Of course.
And so it's just not fresh news anymore. So we start to get hardened to it a little bit.
Yeah,
so
true.
We're wanting to keep people so they can understand how we can help.
You mentioned earlier $55,000 came across your path quickly without even asking for it. What did you use that for? What did that look like practically on the ground?
Yeah, so what happened was... we prayed over all the different things that we could help with, and we really felt to help this Baptist church in Uskhorod. So we bought them two late model vans, second-hand car prices are much cheaper over there.
Yeah.
So we got them two great vans. One of them went to a city in Pavlograd, which is over in the east. So it's literally loading up with food and taking it to people who are living in their basements.
Right.
Water supplies, medical supplies. In fact, I saw a video yesterday where they were delivering food to troops, because also and it's taking a toll on the army and all of that. So they did, but they also gave the troops New Testaments. I've got a video of them holding up the New Testaments and just thanking everybody for thinking of them and caring enough to remember them, which really touched me. I was like, wow, this is incredible. Second Van stayed with the church in the West, in Utsgrud, and they're using that to bring in refugees from the railway stations to take them to medical appointments. They've lost all their documents and things like that. So they're having to help in very practical ways. Mm-hmm. So that van, but it's also being used to distribute aid as well. So that was so an good. Incredible thing.
Rob, we'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap things up. Rob, you mentioned a little bit earlier about those sirens that go off and people race to the basement. Did you hear a lot of those going off? Like, could you hear those regularly? Yeah. And what was your thought when you're hearing those?
Well, we came out of church on the Friday evening and one went off. And my flesh just creeped. I just got goosebumps. And very honestly, I just thought, you know, if I get hit by a missile, I'm just not going to know anything about it. But it wasn't much comfort. But basically, people are walking around doing everyday life. They just continue on doing that. So, yep, it's pretty, very confronting.
But you obviously adjusted fairly quickly when you're watching it, you're watching everyone else to see how they react.
Yeah, that's right. And they were just carrying on as normal. So I figured if they can and they're living with it every day, I've got no right to be frightened of it. So,
wow, I don't know how I would cope. I think I'd be on edge.
Head for the nearest bush.
Yeah. As I said earlier, I'd really admire you because I think, I don't know if I'd have the courage enough to follow through like you did when you seen that news article and felt I just have to go.
Yeah.
So you've been there, you're back, you're heading back to your home in Queensland tomorrow.
Yeah.
What does the next step look like regarding involvement with the Ukraine?
Mm. So what we're doing is at the church and then different ones, we're looking to raise money for food each month for the church, and just this one Baptist church. We're kind of going, we can't go too wide. We have to make a difference in a small area. How can we do that? And that's this. So we want to remove the burden of the food bill so that they can actually minister the gospel, meet people's mental health needs, be on the ground, give them a hug, you know, just do all the things that everyday life is about without having to worry about paying for a food bill. So we're raising funds in that way, and people are beginning to respond, and we've had an amazing response. We have a little ways to go yet, but it's just the best we can do in a terrible situation, but it's going to really, really bless that church. I know it is. They're already very excited that people are even caring about them and remembering them.
That's encouraging as
well. It is.
Look, you could be going back there it could be for some time, as you mentioned earlier. Yeah. It could be for years still. This still could continue on. So you're constantly building up that relationship with the people in the Ukraine.
That's right.
Good. Rob, we are out of time. We could keep talking. Look, I really appreciate you coming in today. It's great talking
to
you.
Thank you very much.
Face to face and really getting an understanding. And we're learning a lot about what it's like still in the Ukraine. And if you do want to get involved, head online to our website. We'll put a link up to your page on our website. So head online to 98five.com and you can follow the links there through. So we really appreciate it, Rob, and all the best heading back
much.
To sunny Queensland.
Yes,
hopefully.
Indeed. It's been amazing.
Good on you, Rob.
Thank you so much.
My guest in the studio this morning has been Queensland pastor Rob Porter from Kingdom Culture Church up there, Rob's just recently had a trip to the Ukraine. You are on 98.5 and this is Weekdays with Mike. Good morning.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.